This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ho, 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 and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodard, and you're tuned into a live Ipswich Town Q&A, the show where you set the agenda, available every week on podcast, audio and video. Joining me for, we'll see how long this lasts, a good period of time of irreverent but hopefully informative Ipswich Town chat, Seb Brown and David Diamond. Gentlemen, how are you? Merry almost Christmas. Happy Christmas Eve, Seb, how are you?
Merry Christmas. I'm good, thanks, mate. The fridge is bursting. The alcohol cupboard is full. I can't possibly fit any more Christmas food or drink in the house. I'm ready for the big day now.
Mission accomplished. Dave, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Thanks, Rich. Yeah, likewise, really.
Got a house full?
Yeah, likewise, yeah.
Diamond Towers?
House full of food and drink and, well, for like 2 days.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Don't have to go anywhere now, do we?
Yeah, got to count New Year as well, I suppose. So, yeah. Looking forward to it now. All the prep. Done.
Yep. Just the annoying bits like wrapping presents and all that kind of stuff, which I always leave right into the last minute. So we'll talk about anything tonight. I mean, I'm not expecting it to be bumper numbers. There's not a huge amount of excitement given Gillingham isn't happening on Boxing Day now. But we're happy to talk about Kieran McKenna and his first few days in the job. We're happy to talk about EFL postponements. We're happy to talk about Christmas wrapping technique. Whatever you guys want, we want to hear from you in the chat. Get in there and say hello and shout any Ipswich Town stuff. We'll happily chat. Charlie, evening to you. Nick's happy. I can make Gillingham now. The game's been moved to the 8th of January. It is rare, guys, that there is some serendipity when it comes to match postponements. Both Ipswich and Gillingham out of the FA Cup, and that weekend now is going to be full of a league fixture, which is convenient, isn't it, for once? Administrators doing their job, guys.
Yeah, and good that it's a Saturday as well, because it would have been, if it gets rearranged to a Tuesday night, you lose some numbers with the away fans, don't you? It would have been, that terrace would have been sold out, I'm guessing, on Boxing Day. So pleased it's a Saturday and the vast majority of guys can get down there again.
Yep. Evening to FPL Tractor. Good rate to have you with us. Jules and his old Mucker DD. That's what we
Jules.
Want.
Jules. How are you, mate? Jules. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Evening to James, competition winner, James, no less. A Christmas book of a Paul Mariner book, which I'm about 2/3 of the way through at the moment and can highly recommend it. It used to be over my shoulder. It is not anymore. I need to find something else to fill that gap. But I can heartily recommend that. And also, I'm almost 95% certain we will do this book club podcast, guys, that we've been thinking about doing for absolutely forever. I have no idea how it's going to work.
I think we've been threatening it since the days of Harry, haven't we?
We have. It was going to be. I even did an intro for it, guys. Very classy kind of jazz number. And let me see if I can dig that out. Because I mean, this...
although, Although I always thought Harry was at a certain advantage over us.
Really. Oh, having read every
his,
single...
his own bookshop.
Yeah, every single football book ever written. Yeah. So I think the gist of it is, I think we'd quite like to find a book that everyone's read. And I think the Mariner book makes sense. And lots of great revelations in there. If you haven't, if you don't know what it's about, our interview with Mark Donaldson is still available. And he gives away a large chunk of the really good stuff in there. There's a really excellent anecdote about a move to Barcelona, which was new to me. Stuff about agitating for a move with Walkie, but just lots of anecdotes about his off-the-field stuff with Ian Gillan from Deep Purple and all that kind of stuff. So fascinating for Ipswich Town fans, fascinating for anyone who's a fan of kind of that era of music as well. So I heartily recommend that. And I think what we'll try and do is give everyone advance notice of that we're doing it, and then we'll discuss it. And I think Mark's offered to come back on as well and talk us through it. I can't find the Harry Book Club intro, unfortunately, I'm afraid. Otherwise, I'd put that on the screen. But anyway, so yeah, Mark's offered to come along and do that. So, and if you've got any other ideas for Ipswich Town or other football books, then let us know. Guys, what's your go-to when it comes to football books?
Oh, there's so many, isn't there? I've read a few in recent years. I've read a few. There's a really good one, but there's two I've read in recent years. I say in recent years, in the last 3 or 4 years. There was one about the kid, I think his name was Adrian Doherty at Man U, who was supposed to be better than Giggs. Irish lad, came over, was an absolute star. Yeah, and was supposed to be even better than Giggs. I think he was in the intake, maybe before Giggs, I think. And it's just a story about his life. So tragic. He got injured, bad injuries, and his life just basically spiraled, really. He was a really interesting character. He was into music and stuff like that. And even when he was at Man U, you know, on the verge of the first team, he'd still go out on the streets in Manchester busking with his guitar and stuff like that. Really sad, really sad. Was found dead at age of something like 29 in a canal in Amsterdam. Oh, wow. It's a hell of a story. Brilliant, brilliant book. And there's another one by Paul Ferris of Newcastle called, and again, similar sort of thing, actually. It's called The Boy on the Shed. And it's about him. Again, he came over to England, to Newcastle from Northern Ireland, pretty much established himself in the first team round about the time of Gaza, I think, round about that time. And again, got injuries and stuff like that. It's a really, really good book. Yeah, excellent book.
Cool. Yeah.
And all the Ipswich ones, I mean.
Yeah, and I was going to mention Sir Bobs. And yeah. I haven't finished Kieran Dyes yet. I really need to do that one.
Really good.
Seb, have you got any go-to?
Kieran's is excellent, isn't it? I recently read it, probably in the last sort of 6 months or so.
Brilliant.
During lockdown weekends. That's a really, really good read. And what I'm also doing, my mum's moving house, so I'm finding all my old Ipswich books from sort of the turn of the century. So I've got the TWTD one that, you know, Phil Ham wrote about our promotion. Yeah. I've got the Matt Holland one, you know, is it Diary of a Tractor Boy, which he signed and stuff. So I keep coming across all these books in boxes, and because it's been 20 years since I've read them, I'm just bringing them all back and reading them again. So it's brilliant. Relive it all again.
I'm just looking at some up there. I still think my favourite ever Ipswich, other than the Robson books, which are just brilliant, but is that The Footballing Gentry with about the Cobbold Brothers by Brian Scovell. That is just such a good... As is Mel Henderson's book about John Cobbold.
It's but... that... There, that's the book. There it is, The Football Gentry. I can't see it. My camera's not good enough, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. As is so... everyone a good. Everyone a good read, really.
Yeah, so we'll get that sorted in the new year. Jules is looking forward to it. He wants it to replace Room 101, Seb.
Well, it might well do if we keep running out of things to say. I mean, last week's was a pretty poor effort, wasn't it?
I've got to confess, guys, I missed last week. What got in there last week?
It was a shocker. It was so bad last week.
Are you scraping the proverbial barrel, are you now?
I put a 0-0 option up as well, because I just thought, but that was probably more of an indictment on my... Go on, Seb, you actually did a decent one.
Well, I was at Anfield the night before, so I did people that sort of get up sort of 6-7 minutes before the end of the game and sort of go to leave, and then something will happen on the pitch and they'll just stand in front of you and block your view and linger on the aisles and stuff. So I went for that, and Rich did something to do with betting.
I'm just a bit annoyed that the our new manager betting odds, someone stuck 10 quid on John Terry and suddenly went from 20-1 to 2-1, because it's just a stupid market. It's just there's no point in running it. And then obviously Kieran McKenna was never on there at all, I don't think.
No.
So I was just kind of
Did he not appear really, really late in the day? And possibly. You could have gotten a 4-1 or something. Is that right? Is that right? Did I see somewhere? I don't even know if that was right. I don't know.
Oh, when the fun stops, stop. Yeah. That's what. So they've won that one, unsurprisingly. So we're going into the new year. We are on level pegging at the top 7, only because we've done the most of them rather than.
Craig, I think, is still the overall winner, isn't he?
Craig's 1-1 point per game.
What was Craig's now?
He did the sign for people asking for shirts.
Oh, yes.
And then fans asking for refunds.
That would have been up
there.
That still goes. I saw Edmondson give his shirt away Saturday to someone in front of Sir Alf. Yeah. Fair play to him.
He also did printing tickets at home and paying a booking fee for the privilege. But then he doubled it up with print at home as well. So there's games going on there with Craig. He might make an appearance. He threatened it, but I keep slagging him off when it comes to him. I might not let him join the broadcast.
I fell for you today. You were like herding cats, weren't you, today? That was quite fun.
So for people out there, I kind of do a shout out for who's available this week. And I get, I can do Wednesday, but not Thursday. I could maybe stand in. And then Dave's in there like a ninja, like, I'm around. That's great. And we were going to do a pre-match kind of hybrid show. Yeah. And then all the games cancelled. So Seb was around for that. And then this morning I put the tweet out and announced Joe. And he's obviously not here because he's unavailable. And I've just not been reading messages.
Well, Joe's got two very, very excited sons, hasn't he? No doubt. I mean, they're at that perfect Christmas age, aren't they? They're about 5 and 3, aren't they? Goodness
They'll
me.
Be getting...
must be manic round at the fair's gaff.
Old Planet Blues are probably good money out of the Fares family this Christmas, hasn't it? We want to hear from you, obviously. We are aware you are out there. We want questions. We want football book recommendations. Give us your Room 101 bets. It's a tricky one when you think about it, even into MW. Here we go. A question we can sink our teeth into, guys. From FPL Tractor. Hello to FPL Tractor. Do you think the Jules game being called off is good as an extra prep time with new coach or bad? Loss of impetus after a decent Sunderland effort, guys. Who wants to take that one?
I'd have liked to play it personally, given the run Gillingham are on. You know, they've lost 5 on the bounce. They're not in good form at all. And I think, you know, it's going to be a very much welcome to League One game now, isn't it, for Kieran McKenna with Wickham at home. So I'd have liked to have played it personally to try and build some momentum and some confidence going into the two tougher home games.
Dave?
Yeah, definitely. Wholeheartedly agree with that. I think it's a shame. No doubt the players are very happy about it, but it is a shame. Because I think we certainly, as we said on the pod on Sunday, we can take something out of that Sunderland game. It was a decent performance, and I think the formation looked really good. And as Seb said, Gillingham on a horrendous run of form. So just a shame, really.
Evans out. That's what we want. That's the hashtag, isn't it? I mean, we're saying that Wickham are also. I mean, there's not many games left at the moment. As things stand, this is the situation in League One with. A load of games. If I remove the banner as well very quickly, there we can see Wickham at the bottom there, postponed with Cambridge. So it's not as if we get a competitive advantage off of Wickham because they're still their match is postponed. What's left? Accrington, Rotherham, Cheltenham, Plymouth, Fleetwood, Shrewsbury, Lincoln, MK. How do we think that will look by the 26th, guys? Surely it feels like dominoes at the moment. The rest of those will fall as well, do we think?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be surprised, would you? And I mean, even when is the Wickham game next Wednesday, is it? So less than a week away.
29th. Yeah. It's all a little bit, crazy at the moment.
Very much at this stage.
We'll keep our fingers crossed anyway, because Wickham's a pack-up PR game, isn't it? And you wouldn't want to be forced to play behind closed doors.
25, was it? I thought it was
25 and a half or something so far. Yeah, I thought the Sunderland game would be the peak, and then, things might start to die down a little bit. But that's superb numbers.
A little bit of money for us as well.
When you think of Wickham and the fan base with Sunderland, I mean, obviously Sunderland would always sell their tickets. It's probably, town fans have probably sold just as many.
Yeah.
Not too far short.
So it'd be a shame for the club and all of that situation if Wickham is forced to play behind closed doors. So, we'll keep an eye on that. The other thing I want to hear from folk is with no football on Boxing Day, what ITFC-related activity might you get up to, or football-related activity might you be getting up to instead? I'm kind of like thinking we should, if the club were smart, they'd find a way to upload a season review of, 91-92 or 99-2000 or something like that, and do a live simulcast and stream it and we can all chat about it. But
blimey.
So maybe what Escape to Victory is the best thing I've heard. So Escape to Victory is the benchmark. This is turning into a very Partridge-esque show now, isn't it? But what are you doing on Boxing Day?
Are you going to be playing your ITFC Manager 2003-2004?
Well, I saw that. It's got to be a bit clunky, isn't it, Rich?
It's shocking. It is absolutely diabolical. Let me see if I can restore. Because I binned it all. So for folk who are the uninitiated, Ipswich Town released their own manager football game in 2003-2004. And there we go. Let me put that in there. And effectively, it's a knockoff of Football Manager or Championship Manager, but it is really, really poor. And the only thing going for it is you get the licensed the badges and oh, there you go.
Oh,
you get the badges and pictures of the players. So when a match kicks off, all you see is a text commentary and a picture of the player comes up. It's very low rent, but it's licensed and it's, you know, so maybe I'll do a live cast of me playing Ipswich Town Football Manager or whatever it is.
Has it got the old, do you remember the original internet dial-up? Has it got a bit of that on there?
It's got live commentary.
Proper authentic.
There's a proper commentator. Do you know the commentator on FIFA 21, Seb? Or is it FIFA 20? Yeah, it is. The Scottish guy. Do you know who it is? No.
Maybe
I think it's him, but it's back in 2003. Anyway, there you go. Oh,
okay.
So I might do something about that at some point in the next few weeks just to give me something to do when I'm not at work. Let's head back to the comments. We want to hear from you, as we said. Good day to Ben from a not-so-sunny but rather warm Sydney. Heart bleeds for you, Ben. Love the shows.
Tough.
Have a great Christmas and New Year to
you
all.
Too.
Yeah, we quite agree with that, Ben, and to you as well. RJM, love the work, guys. McKenna sounded dull as dishwater. Am I being unfair? Thoughts on that? I think he is a little bit. I think it's what McKenna said on Monday that I was more interested rather than
how he sounded.
Thoughts, guys? Dave?
Yeah, exactly right. I think I've heard that from the Man U fans as well, that he was a bit, he comes across as rather sort of, I don't know, laconic, is that the word, and a bit sort of, a bit downbeat, I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah, a bit like that, a bit understated maybe, but if that's his persona, it's not how he says it, you're quite right, it's what he's got to say, isn't it?
Yeah, Seb?
I don't really mind it, to be honest. I mean, quite often these press conferences are just the same things tried out over and over, aren't they? People tend to say the same kind of things. I don't mind if he's like that. We had Paul Cook, who was a larger-than-life character but couldn't really get things going on the pitch. So if McKenna is the other way around, I've got no problem with that at all, personally.
Have you been practicing, Rich?
When are you going to make the debut of it?
Have you been practicing?
Well, I've got Noi, which is now.
Noi.
That's Noi. That's as much as I can go, but I got Wederbex. I got in trouble when I started it, and I kind of think it's probably not worth.
Yeah, you need to work. You got that's something to do over Christmas. You can work on your Kieran McKenna.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, that's my new niche now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm doing management impressions. Yeah. But your thoughts generally, guys, on what you had to say? I tweeted out, I was quite impressed with specifics and clear plans and direction, as opposed to, as you were saying, Seb, the kind of larger than life, but cliched nonsense and generalities that don't actually. I felt quite patronized at times under Cook, as if either he didn't think that we were smart enough to know what was going on, or B, we didn't deserve to. Lambert certainly, and Mick as well, I picked that up. And I didn't get that from McKenna, though it might be that McKenna is not media trained yet. And in a few months' time, we might get the generalities and cliches. But what he had to say about the style of play and so on, that was encouraging, right?
I thought so. And also, you know, he's a different generation to the like we've had before. You know, Lambert, Cook, Mick, they're all older school managers who, you know, have been set in their ways for many years now. McKenna is 35, isn't he? Younger than all of us, as much as it pains me to say. And, you know, he's coming at it from a different angle. And yeah, I really like the specifics regarding formations. I found quite interesting what he said about that kind of stuff. And I'm really encouraged so far, personally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dave,
I agree. I agree. This is the best way we could have gone. You know, I said on Sunday I was sort of pushing for someone to come in and with a big hurrah and take us to promotion by the end of the season. Realistically, it's not going to happen. So to me, this is the best appointment we could have got.
Yep.
Les getting frustrated with the cancellations. Have we become complacent? I mean, the issue, I guess, Les, is we're not Premier League for a start, but it's just so much of it out there, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
These guys in League One and even Championship, but certainly League One and League Two guys, as far as I'm aware, don't get kind of protective bubbles and have to go and do the school run and have to go to the shops and all that kind of stuff. It's just impossible to avoid it.
Was it the last mass testing they did in the Premier? Was it 90 players tested positive? Was it last week? I think I read. I mean, it's players and staff. Yeah,
120,000 people in the UK with it as of today. Which, you know, that those odds, you know, there is going to be contact for those players at some point.
It's just spreading like wildfire, isn't it? And like you said, players at our kind of level still have to do normal things. They have to go and do their Christmas shopping at Tesco's and Morrison's and stuff like we all do, you know. So it's just out there like wildfire, isn't it? You can protect as much as you want, but it is out there.
Oh, it takes a staff member, isn't it? You know, to pick it up from a kid or even the players.
A family member. Yeah, someone, you know, a family member picks up at school or on the school run or out somewhere and, you know, you can't do anything about it.
I'm shocked that so much of the season has been played, not only with full stadiums, but with no cancellations until right now at the moment. I think they've done really well on that, but I can get the frustration because a lot of people have put their hopes and, you know, their enjoyment into football. And when it's not there, we miss it, don't we? So I think
the big frustration is that everyone's now, but well, everyone, most of us have been double vaxxed and boosted. And I think that's the main frustration, isn't it? With the life in general now, really, at least we're not Scotland or bloody Wales, for Christ's sake. I mean, good grief. Yeah. No, sorry. Yes, you are.
Florida.
You're like border, though. You're border. I never consider. You're like borders, aren't you? But, or are you? How far are you actually into Wales?
I'm about a quarter of a mile over the border.
Oh, that's right.
I can see the border sign from my bedroom window.
We've had this conversation before.
Yeah, I have to abide by Welsh rules.
So. Jumped the fence. He'd be in England. But he can't, so he's not.
Oh my god, no.
Football books coming in. Charlie D, great non-Ipswich football book, Inverting the Pyramid. Jonathan Wilson, a proper deep dive on tactics.
Bit too deep for me, that one.
Soconomics is another one as well.
Yeah, that's
a good one.
Yeah.
Pablo Canuga, great book about the Ukrainian side during World War II, which Escape to Victory is loosely based on. Doesn't have a happy ending, sorry.
Perhaps we can guess what happened there.
No Stallone to
get the or Russell Osman.
Exactly right. Rodders, think we'd have done a number on Gillingham. Yeah, guys, were you confident going to that one? I think you have to be.
Yeah, I think so.
The way we played against Sunderland, you know, we were really well first half. If we'd have played like that against Gillingham for the first half, I think we'd have been a couple of goals up, wouldn't we? And then we could have really looked to build something before the Wickham game.
Yeah.
I'm going to find Gillingham have had a pretty shocking.
They've lost five on the bounce and six in all competitions.
Every time we looked at them, Seb, or compared them to another team, there was always the stats tracking, and Gillingham were always second or third or first on certain metrics. Yeah, they've lost. Certainly, their last five. They've lost.
He must be
goals for 18 against 34.
He must be under a bit of pressure, old Steve-O,
only three wins all season.
They lost a couple of players in the summer, didn't they? They lost Jordan Gray and went to Birmingham, and he scored a lot of their goals last season. And I think Jack Bonham, the keeper, went to Stoke as well. Can you tell I did the Gillingham pre-match research before the game was called off?
It's a striker still there. He bullied us last year.
Who was that?
Akindi, wasn't it?
No.
Was that Akindi, John?
Yeah,
he scored two. No, not Akindi. Someone will put it on the chat. He scored two against us last year. Ripped as a new one.
Akindi's still there.
Who was it?
Who else is it?
Sure, it wasn't Akindi.
I've got the internet open.
Go on.
Not helping me. Verdane Oliver?
Yes.
Carriel's there.
Oh, he's still there, Oliver. Verdane Oliver's Dane six Oliver. Goals. Yeah, six goals for the season he's on.
There you go. Seb's done his research.
Bullied us last year. Absolutely bullied us there at Priestfield.
Knicks, will fans in grounds start one to wonder too now? I guess that's about COVID. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised in there, but we'll see what happens. It might be the stuff is taken out of our hands.
How was it where I sat Saturday, you know, when people were out of their seats and, you know, behind the stand, then it was pretty much really well observed, you know, masks and stuff. How about where you were?
It was very quiet, Dave, because I watched it in Amsterdam. So,
you watched it in Amsterdam? Oh, I see. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on quickly. Merry Christmas to Anthony. Thank you for that. FPR Chatter, what's our best ever Boxing Day performance? Could we follow that? Interesting. I'm trying to think. I mean, not of recent years.
No, not recently. I mean, I always remember the 2-1 on Sky against Leicester in the...
Oh, that was good.
2002, guard so late on, and Ambrose, I think, scored. That was pretty decent, if I remember rightly. I always liked the, was it 2-2 the Premier League season where we finished fifth? We were 2-0 down to Chelsea, and Stewart and Scowcroft score. That was a pretty decent one.
Good shout, actually.
That one, yeah, that was
in recent years, but obviously I go back as far that we used to play Norwich routinely on Boxing Day, so I've seen some good ones over the years. Yeah,
there
was a 3-3. It was a 3-3 game at Norwich. Probably may have been the first time I ever went to see Town play at Norwich, about 79, something like that. That was pretty good. But yeah, it's always good to have them when that was going.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
I remember being Leicester 2-0 in the relegation season, and I thought, we're going to turn here. Peralta and Marcus Brent scored, and I thought, we're going to turn this round now.
It was a lovely
brilliant
goal, that.
Peralta's goal was brilliant.
I was having a chat to someone about that season, because I posted the Sunderland goals from that season. That was, I think that was a bit later into December, possibly.
That's New Year's Eve, I think, wasn't it?
And 29th or something like that, I think. Yeah. And
what, the Cheltenham game?
No, the Sunderland game, the 5-0 game in the relegation season. And for Christmas, we bought my uncle an Ipswich Town book, and I inscribed in the front cover, no team has ever stayed up having been bottom of the league at Christmas. And it just became very, it was prescient rather than me trying to be, we've beaten the odds. We were actually, the odds beat us.
I was at the Spurs game. It started off when we won 2-1, Armstrong header, Fanini overhead kick and Armstrong header. That was brilliant. Started to snow, I remember, on the way back. And then we just went on that mental run, didn't we? The only blip in that was the Charlton game, which
we were 2-1 up, weren't we?
2-0.
Marcus
really
Bennett
early,
twice, didn't he?
Really.
Yeah.
2-0 up really early, and then we're just picking up points. I remember us going to Derby away and beating them, I think, 3-1. The game that scuppered us that season, I still say, was the Southampton game. I remember a balding Chris Marsden becoming Lionel Messi and just walking through our defence and walking one in. And then, of course, the next game up was the one that really did this, was 6-0 against a frightening Liverpool front three of Heskey, Owen and Anelka.
I think Gerrard scored that day as well. Liverpool game was before the Southampton game, wasn't it? It was Liverpool first.
I think it probably was, actually.
But the run was...
I think we were softened up.
Spurs 2-1, Leicester 2-0, Sunderland 5-0, then Charlton 3-2 defeat. Then we beat Spurs again at home.
McGreal,
and Bent. Derby away, 3-1. Fulham at home, 1-0.
Yeah.
Everton away. Matt Holland scored that long-range
screamer
free kick. And then we then we went on a run between the 9th of February, the 11th of May, and only won once more. We got beat 6-0 by Liverpool, then the 3-1 to Southampton, and then we beat Borough some 2 months later.
Yeah, there was all sorts run. In that. We lost at, I remember we lost at Blackburn. Did we not get a ridiculous
draw at Newcastle?
Newcastle, didn't we?
2-2. Yeah, Shearer missed a penalty in the last minute, didn't he?
He drew with Chelsea at home when we should have beat them as well. I remember Tommy Miller.
Oh, and then the bloody Man U, Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, Van Nistelrooy.
That's a cheating free penalty. Yeah.
We must have gone from bottom of the league to, because we were 12th after the Everton game. We must have gone from bottom of the league to 12th in the space of 6 weeks or something.
It was mad. I'd love to see the form table during that time, because we must have been top three.
Yeah. Well, I think Marcus Bent was player of the month in January or something, wasn't he? Seem to recall. Yeah, there you go. What might have been? Well, there's a sliding doors video on the Blue Mono channel if you go looking for that. So there you go. Rodgers is just going to be drinking away those beers on Boxing Day. There you go. What have we got? Mark, evening to Mark. Just found out the Northern Irish guy in my office is the cousin of our new boss's missus. Made my day. There you go. We were asking about tenuous things before.
Tenuous.
I think that's a good one.
Ice
one. Evening to Tom. First time here. Hello to Tom. Hello, gents. I've enjoyed your stuff via Twitter so far. Merry Christmas all. And to you, Tom. Thanks for joining in. Great to have you with us. FPL Tractor. It kind of sounded a bit dour to me, but that's fine, as the other great managers have too. I guess it doesn't matter what he says to us. It matters what he says to the players, isn't it? And a lot of people are reading a lot into this. Maybe. I don't know.
No, I'll take dour every day of the week if they can get us moving dour up the pitch.
Yeah, who I think other dour managers? Kenny Dalglish was a bit dour, wasn't he? He weren't too bad, was he?
Burnley was a bit dour, I guess, wasn't he? He was never
Burnley. Yeah.
There you go. Dour managers, get them in the chat. Moving on, HCH. After giving Cook just 44 games, do you think the new owners will be as quick to get shot of McKenna if it doesn't start slash go well? I mean, we've got to hope HCH goes a little bit better.
He's Ashton's man now, though, isn't he? So yeah. He's going to get time and backing. Ashton held on too long, didn't he? Maybe with Lee Johnson, and he gave him a lot of chances at Bristol City. So he does give managers time, and he's kind of put all his eggs in this basket. Now he's clearly convinced the ownership group this was the way to go with the younger coach kind of model. So I think he'll get a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, do you think there was a point? Do you think again a bit like Hurst, where obviously he had that result against Swansea, and we held on another two or three games, didn't we? I mean, when you're thinking about when Cook went after the Barrow game, so what, first week of December, do you think there should have been a cut-off point before then?
What, in respect to getting rid of Cook?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have been calling for it, haven't they?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always...
I mean, it's just going... It's so... You know, you went from almost Wickham... Yeah. And then I saw it, and Seb was there. You know, the Sunderland away game where okay, we got beat, but didn't deserve it. We played really, really well. And then it went weird, didn't it? Just odd.
Yeah.
Picked a really strong side. Well, in between time, picked a really strong side against Oldham at home in the cup. And that was just downhill from there, really, wasn't it?
Negative momentum wasn't there. And
really odd.
I think the issue we had for a long time. And under Cook as well, which is a surprise. And we talked about this, is the lack of chances we create. We were exceedingly efficient at scoring the chances that we got at the start of the season. And we've always had these seasons where statistically what we're doing is unsustainable. I remember under Mick when we did similar, didn't we? We started the 17-18 season. We smashed Millwall and a few others and were top of the league after the Charlton friendly where we got Dick 6-0, whatever it was. And we our XG was really low, but our goals for was really high. And you kind of thought, well, there'll be a point where the goals dry up. And that's what happened. And under Cook, and it's the same now, this was the issue against Sunderland. We just don't know how to create chances.
It is the same. I mean, as we said on Sunday, didn't we, that Bon hasn't scored for 9 games, but he hasn't had any chances. I haven't really missed any glaring chances. Not many. Well, hardly any, not in recent of those 9 games, not in any of the recent games.
And that's something to me that McKenna needs to get right. Needs to figure out a way of getting this team to create chances, whether that's crosses in the box or shots from range or something like that. We just don't create enough. We don't score enough. It's like
shots from range. Shots from range, you just don't
desperate,
see.
Though, isn't it? No, really? It is desperate. But I remember Jewell did that when he came in. We weren't scoring goals, and then Bullard came in, and Frank were just shooting, and some of them go in, don't they? You know.
Yeah.
I think if we can keep Burns fit again, we'll naturally see more chances created. You know, we saw what he did against Sunderland for the first 45 minutes. He broke down the side, two or three times, didn't he? So naturally, you would think the chance creation will go up if we can keep him on the pitch, because he's been a hell of a miss.
Yeah. And it was good to see him out in that video. He was out training, wasn't he, as well, where, you know, you'd hope he would be after Saturday, but you never know. But no, that's good to see. Yeah, he's really key to us.
FPL,
HCH,
I think they'll give him longer. Yeah, I think we agree with that. Pablo Canuga. Oh, hello, Siri. Two great words to shout in the Northern Ireland accent. I'll take your word for it.
There's your practice.
And snooker.
Lamborghini.
Snooker.
Snooker.
There you go. You've had one from me and one from Dave. There we go. Seb, do you want to fancy a go?
Wederbecks. That's always my go-to.
Wederbecks.
Northern Wederbecks. Northern
it's like saying curly-whirly in a Scottish accent. Curly-whirly. There you go. Les came back promising front foot football and playing in the opponent's half. Can't wait to get going. Agree. I think optimism is what we want. And McKenna definitely had a strategy, didn't he? So we just need to realise it. Talked about pressing from the front as well. So, yeah, if that's what we get, it bodes well, doesn't it?
I think another good point made somewhere on the forum also was, you know, from his background, do we expect to see some perhaps Man United youngsters potentially coming in on loan?
Yeah. And I think if you follow Luke Penning on Twitter, I think he's already speculating on those. So go and give Luke a follow. FPL Tractor, standard foot, but it's, fever pitch. If you haven't, I think that's like a rite of passage football book, isn't it?
Excellent.
When you're kind of,
absolutely.
Yeah, of a certain age, definitely recommend that as well.
Brilliant.
There you go. HCH called it. I'm now getting through the comments a bit belatedly.
He's the one.
There's Oliver. That's the guy.
Yeah.
That's the book that Pablo was talking about, Dynamo, Defending the Honour of Kiev. By Andy Doon.
Okay.
There you go.
Never heard of that one.
There you go. Jules, Ipswich Scum 4-2, 90. Any recollection of that one, Dave?
I have, but I think that was at Easter, Jules.
Oh.
I think that was at Easter, mate. I think that was Easter Monday, 1979, that one.
Oh, I don't want to have a... I won't go to the internet. Yeah. I'll let you guys debate it.
I think that was Easter Monday, 1979.
Okay.
I think.
We'll get...
It could also have been a walkie hat trick in there as well, a couple of which might have been penalties as well.
I'm going to get the internet up and I will do it.
No.
I'll do a facial expression.
No.
That lets you know whether you're right or not. Come on, blimmin', these cookie thingies just really pissing me off. We did play. Yeah, you're right. We did play them on Boxing Day, but it was not 4-2, Jules, I'm afraid. Hazard a guess at the score, Dave? Can you remember?
Boxing Day 1970.
Golf Fest.
Not Boxing Day 19 when?
1979.
That's 3-3.
It was 3-3. There you go.
That was what I said earlier. I was at the game.
Oh, sorry. I was too busy looking at the internet. Sorry.
Yeah. That was my first. That was my first away game at Norwich. Yeah. For watching it now.
James has pitched
cool.
us this one. Yeah, Brentford.
Yeah, forget that one.
I was there for that one. That was great. We scored after like a minute. Loved it. We were top of the league and then because we played early. Then
we played at midday,
one.
Didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
We were top of the league for,
Nick was taking videos in the North Stand, Dave. All those fans, no mask. I still felt safe now. So that's the issue for me, the North Stand at the moment, is just get out of the concourse and get out. You know, if the kids want to jump on around and stuff like that, that's fine.
Let them,
I'm not going to hang around in there.
No.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? We can't really judge, can we? There we go. Interesting one from HCH. Seb, do you think Ashton will let McKenna keep Norwood?
I think he'll let him play, but I can't see his contract getting renewed given the wage he is supposedly on. You know, we all know he's on quite a decent wedge. So, I mean, he's what now, 31, 32, never really completed more than half the games in a season. Apparently, he's in great shape this year. But, you know, I'd imagine that either he'll be renegotiated on a year-by-year deal at a vastly lower rate and he just might want to move on and go elsewhere where he's going to play every single week.
Yeah. We need to, we'll go for 5 more minutes or so. So get your final comments, get your Christmas messages. We'll share them. Get your football books, get your Boxing Day big wins from days gone by. And we'll put those up and we'll do a kind of a blitz through those, then say goodbye. One thing I do need to mention, and we've tweeted about this already, is Shelter's No Home Kit campaign. I think it's kind of marked on Boxing Day. Notionally, it was supposed to be Boxing Day, and obviously that's been screwed over a little bit. And there's a link here if you want to get involved in that. And effectively, the stat they're quoting is every 90 minutes, 25 households in this country end up homeless for one reason or another. And so this campaign is seeking to get football support for that and raise awareness. So you can get involved, hashtag No Home Kit, go to Shelter's website or go to the page here, justgiving.com/campaign/No Home Kit and donate there. And on Boxing Day, even though we've got no game to go to, find yourself an away shirt, hence No Home Kit, or a third shirt, and mark your support that way. So definitely worth supporting that, particularly at this time of year, really tough for a lot of families. And get some information there at Shelter's website, or follow them on Twitter. I think it's at Shelter Charity on Twitter. Elsewhere, in terms of bits and pieces to plug, not much really at the moment. Bloom Monday, itfc.co.uk is where anything will be. If we've got anything to say, all of our socials, all of our pod feeds. If you're at a loose end over Christmas and looking for something to watch or listen to, we've got a playlist of kind of long play videos and specials that we've done. We've obviously got a load of archived interviews with Dave speaking to the likes of Pablo and Ray Crawford and many others on there. We've got compilation videos. We've got watch-alongs from Wembley 2000. We've got the 80-81 retrospective with Dave and Stat is all on there. So go and have a look around our YouTube channel if you're at a loose end.
Who needs Netflix, for goodness sake?
All free of charge. No subscription fee.
Absolutely.
Boom.
Come on. Yes.
We get the channel that keeps on giving. And who knows, we might put some random stuff on over Christmas as well. If there are games that are off, then, you know, we won't do a show for the sake of it. But you know, who knows? Maybe I'll do a watch along of me playing Ipswich Town manager game or something like that. I don't know. We will come up with something, I'm sure. So let's just finish off the comments. MW, intrigued to see how far and how quickly this new high quality coaching can take League One level players. Does that worry you guys at all? The Ken has been used to players who are highly professional, attuned athletes. Do you think he might? You know, Dave, your mate Glenn Hoddle, I guess, struggled with this when he was a manager, wasn't he? That the players just weren't.
Yeah. Well,
To
be fair, though, Glenn Hoddle struggled with it because Glenn Hoddle was just still technically so much better footballer than the rest of the players. This is something obviously, you know, different to a little bit different. But no, you'd think that the players can absorb his high level coaching, and it can only improve them, can't it? Surely. The credentials that the guy's got is just second to none, isn't it? Goodness me.
Yep.
I'm sure he'll be frustrated when you're trying to get, won't name any one of our midfield players to do something that Paul Pogba
would
probably
line.
Do with his eyes shut in training. But yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. A good coach is a good coach forever.
Anyway. Forever.
Seb, MW, everyone is jumping at the bit about Bonn and Norwood, but what about Chaplin and Bonn or Piggott? Chaplin is a championship level goal scorer. Yeah, it's Chaplin, the forgotten member of the squad.
He is, yeah. He was doing well, wasn't he, in that sort of number 10 role. Then he picked up a back strain after the Portsmouth game, I think it was. So he sat out for a few. I guess Aluko has now made that sort of advanced midfield role his own after the Sunderland performance, but I do like Chaplin. I don't think I'd play him as an out-and-out striker. I guess if you're going to play, you know, Bonn up top, then you could have arguably Aluko and Chaplin tucked in just behind. But at the moment, Norwood, you know, is the man in form, 2 goals in 2 games. So I think if he's going to stick with the 3-5-2, it'll be him and Bonn up front for the foreseeable. And I'm not sure where that leaves Joe Piggott, to be honest. No. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, at some point, if Bonn obviously goes back, if Norwood gets injured, he'll get his chance. But, you know, we're getting towards the end of December now, and he's just not really got going at all, is he? I know he's had external off the field issues and he's not really had a run in the team, but you know, for me, I thought by now he'd sort of maybe start to set out his stall a little bit more than he has.
Yeah, do you guys think that there'll be some big names that arrived in the summer that might be let go in January? apart from
the
obvious.
I'm not sure about January, but certainly I think January might be a bit of a clearing of the deadwood. The likes of maybe, you know, Nolan can probably move on. Jackson, Kenlock, maybe if he's not going to feature in the manager's plans, and we might see two or three arrivals. I guess Coulson might go back to Borough. But then maybe come next summer, especially if we stay down, come next summer, you know, Fraser's been linked with a move to Swansea. Is Sammy Morsy going to want to have 2 years without Paul Cook in charge in League One? Edmondson might get a few admirers. You know, hopefully he'll stick around. But I guess we might see a couple of the this year's arrivals and potentially maybe move on in the summer.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting...
I mean, I think the goalkeeper's the key as well, isn't he?
Yeah, of course, keep him open. Yeah,
crikey.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, watching, I've already come in under scrutiny on the Blue Monday WhatsApp group for being overly critical of League Two goalkeeper of the season, Ladke, because I've been watching this class of 92 full time on Sky, and every goal they seem to concede, I've got a question mark over Ladke. I'm sorry, but maybe it's just me and goalkeepers.
You
I've
and
got
goalkeepers, you know,
Christian Walton,
though,
isn't
it, Rich?
He's my man.
You know, it's a thing now, you know, maybe he just didn't, you know, it wasn't a good combination with him and, Keely, you know, the previous goalkeeper coach, you know, now you've got, I think, the Rene, he's now, you know, these players form a different rapport with different coaches. He may flourish under him. You just don't know.
Yeah. Jules getting the excuse and started drinking Boxing Day. So I wouldn't have sobered up by Easter. So you could be right. There you go. Harry,
Jules,
Merry Christmas to you. Safe Christmas to you as well, Harry. Well, hope everyone's a great holiday period for those like me who have caught COVID at the worst time.
Oh, mate.
I hope you can make the best of a shit situation.
I feel for you, Will.
Yeah, really
hang
do,
in
mate.
There, Will.
Really do, buddy.
Oh, hope you're not struggling with it as well. Get well soon. Skip, best football book has to be Joss's Giants. End of. That's
you wouldn't remember that, would you?
Seven
would
you
remember
get that one.
Remember
Dave,
that, Rich? Nah, Seb wouldn't even... Oh, no, I feel like... if I didn't anyway...
What's that about? Do you want to tell us?
It was about a group of kids. I think that was set in Newcastle, I believe. And that not only was it a book, it was a kids' TV show. It was made into a TV show.
Yeah, it does ring a bell.
Circa early 80s, maybe, okay. I'd say. Maybe early to mid-80s.
About
a kids' football team. Yeah.
Jules is going... Totally wrong here. Wrong question, wrong answer. I know we lost 10-1 to Fulham on Boxing Day. There you go. That always comes
that
up
was
that sky.
That was that mental Boxing Day in 1960, when there was, well, I say 63, when there was like 100 goals scored in like 10 games, wasn't there? That wasn't the most freakiest result. There was like 8-4s in there and all sorts going on.
Yeah. Joshua, hope all Ipswich fans have a wonderful Christmas. Enjoy and stay safe. Yeah. FBR Tractor beat them 4-1 there you go. Thumbs up there. Lots of chat about that. Any gossip about the third coach who they're expecting to bring in soon? Joe's mentioned names, but I always hesitate to mention things that Joe tells me on messages because it might not be in the public domain.
No.
But we've not... No appointments have been made. I mean, it was this time last week we were chatting about Kieran McKinnon and about 50 minutes he was about to be confirmed as the manager. So maybe at 9 p.m. we'll get the coach, but I've not heard any names, guys.
Hasn't one of the coaches left?
I think United have hired somebody, haven't they, with the same role as somebody, which would suggest.
That leaves the other coach. I do know he, so I won't say it, but yeah,
I've remembered
the other
it,
coach
isn't it?
Yeah. Putting two and two together.
He
then.
Shares
yeah.
a name with one of our famous ex-managers, doesn't he? Yeah, there you go.
Our youngest, I think.
There you go. Evening to John from
John.
World-renowned Southwest Supporters Branch.
Yeah, not good
thanks
man.
For another great... Thank you, John, for all of your support.
Yeah, mate.
Happy Christmas to all of you.
Hopefully catch up with you
Southwest.
Soon.
I mean, we've had a meet-up with the Southwest Supporters Branch. We had a live pod all lined up for Bristol Rovers on the 20th of March or whatever it was.
Yeah, we did, didn't
2020.
We?
And it's so long overdue a trip down to there. So hopefully...
Yeah.
2022 is the year that happens, John. And there you go. There's we're showing our ages now.
There you go.
Just as Giants on TV. There we go. Were we defending champions when we lost to Fulham, Dave?
Boxing Day 1963. No.
No.
No. It was the season.
61-62 we won it, wasn't it? Yeah.
So this was the 62-63. This was 63-64 where ultimately we got relegated. Not surprisingly.
Anniversary of course, isn't it? Along with the 91-92, the forgotten championship, as Craig would call it. Andrew, perhaps we should be not looking, perhaps we should not be looking backwards, but how many goals would Norwood have scored if he'd started all the matches with two up front? Hypothetical, guys. Would we be better off? Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, we were fairly successful. I say we were fairly successful. I know Joe has said this time and time again, we were, but in three games, basically, which was called those, 14 goals, that glut of goals. I mean, since he's been back, you know, the two or three games since we've seen him, you would think, he would have, with two up, we would have created a little bit more, I would have thought.
Yeah. That is your lot. I've got no more comments. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to let Seb and Dave say farewell. I'll give you a last hurrah for any comments, any Christmas wishes. Seb, let's start with you. We did this on Sunday on the flagship, but let's do it again because people might not have watched it. I can't believe there's anyone here who hasn't. And obviously, if you're watching and you haven't yet, give us a thumbs up. Make sure you give us a thumbs up. Simon, Ben, Elliot, they've all given us a thumbs up on Facebook. So do likewise if you're watching on YouTube. Do subscribe, all that fun stuff. But Seb, repeat your Christmas message. Maybe make it better, embellish it. You've got a second opportunity now.
Sound like the Queen. Come on, yeah. Seb. Yeah. Your Christmas address.
Merry Christmas to everybody. Thank you for the year of watching and subscriptions and thumbs up and donations and everything. Very, very kind. I hope everyone has a great Christmas and a great new year. And hopefully we'll be back soon with some post-match reaction at some point.
Hear, hear. Dave.
Ditto.
Ditto. Leave it at that. Everyone, thank you for joining in. Thank you for your comments, your book recommendations, your Boxing Day memories. We will hopefully be back with some football to talk about before too long. But as the guys have said, have a Merry Christmas, stay safe, and we'll hopefully be chatting about some football very soon. Take care.
Enjoy.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.